for the sake of the world. Now, the passage today is taken from Isaiah 49, verse 6. But before we go that, right, what are some of the major things that happened recently that affects you and me? For me, it happened on September 30th. What happened on September 30th? Anyone? All right, this happened. How many of you are affected? So little, yeah. I didn't know we have so many international friends with us in this congregation. Now, this is basically, you know, starting on September 30th, right? Because of this Budi 95, RON 95, we are entitled to 1 ringgit 99 cent per liter of RON 95. If not, we are supposed to pay 2 ringgit 60 cent. All right? And to qualify for this, we need to be a Malaysian citizen with a functional IC and also with a valid driving license. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I believe you may have seen all this news all around the place, especially in the social media, to teach us how do we go about to check whether we are eligible or not. So how many of us are eligible and already, having this benefit? So little. The rest of you either don't drive or you are truly the international friends that we have here. Now, when we receive interesting news, we tend to share it with many others, right? It's very easy for us to just click share, forward button, right? Whether it is your WhatsApp, whether it is your social media, you know, whenever we receive interesting and relevant news that impact us, first and foremost, we will share it out. Now, God calls believers to tell everyone the good news about Jesus, no matter who they are or where they come from. Now, we may have this thinking saying that, mission started about 2,000 years ago. So in 2,000 years, it is impossible for us to reach the nations for God. So one of the myths that we may have is that God started missions in the New Testament. Now, let me bring to your attention two very changi words. All right, changi. Centripetal and centrifugal approach. Now, we are going to look into this and we are going to see that God has called people even since the beginning, right? The centripetal approach is where people are drawn to a certain nation. And that nation, according to the scripture, is the nation of Israel. People were brought into attention, hey, there is this group of people that is so-called belonging to this God. And we have Abraham as the father of many nations. We see also in the scripture, Joseph saved Israel from famine. Moses saved the enslaved Israelites from Egypt, found in the book of Exodus. And I want to highlight to you, because of time, one very specific issue or very, very specific situation, Rahab and the spies recorded in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Now, this is the brief of what happened, right? Centripetal approach means that God has chosen a nation, and that the whole world, or at least the world at that time, draws their attention to this nation, Israel. Now, Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 11, this is where Joshua sends spies into the land. And verse 8 says this, "Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given you this land and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you.'" They heard of something. They heard of a news. So what is it? "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, roughly 40 years ago. Something that happened 40 years ago, the people in the Canaan, they still remember. They acknowledge that this group of people belongs to God. L-O-R-D, the one who created the heaven and the earth. And what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of Jordan, this is recent, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below." Now, God already have mission in mind, and that approach is drawing people to the nation of Israel and see what Rahab said in faith. Verses 12 to 14. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. And our lives for your lives, the man assured her, if you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. Rahab heard of news 40 years ago that the Lord had opened up the Red Sea and recently two nations formed. And she knew that this God is truly the God of heaven and earth, the God and one true God. This was the response of Rahab, an outsider in a sense, that was drawn to God because of what God has been doing in the nation of Israel. So I believe most of us here, we are set free. We are set free because we have known the truth. We know that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. We know that Jesus Christ has come and saved us from our sins. We know that when we die, we will come into God's presence. God had missions in mind since the beginning of Israel. And in the passage today, Isaiah chapter 49 verse 6, this is taken from the New Living Translation. Not only we see that it's this centripetal approach, we also see the centrifugal approach. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. That is the first part, centripetal, restoring God's people back to him. I will make you a light to the Gentiles and you will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. So not only people are drawn to God, to the nation of Israel, but God now is sending the light to the Gentiles. Two different approach, but one great mission. Now, this is a time when you see, we were made for his mission. And when you say this, right, here I am, send Pastor Caleb. How many of you say that? Here I am, God, use me, send Pastor Caleb. Send Deacon Bruce. Send Deacon Bochu. Send Pastor Sok Ming. Where are you, Pastor Sok Ming? Send all the pastors. Send all the leaders. We are here to support. Now, when we say that we love God, when we say that we know God's heart, it means that we acknowledge our role and purpose on earth, which is to go. Not only to send Pastor Caleb, send Deacon Bruce, send Deacon Bochu, send Pastor Sok Ming, send all the pastors and doctors. We are to go and bring forth God's salvation to the ends of the earth because God's heart is for mission. And Jesus Christ is called to restore the people of Israel to God. He has done that. He is called to be the light to the Gentiles. He has done that. And Jesus Christ is called to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. And God, Jesus Christ himself, has given us the Great Commission for us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he has commanded us to do. That is our role. That is God's heart. And if we say that we love God and know God, we need to understand that God wants us to go. Now, for the sake of the world, we have talked about it in our last sermon, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27, 28. This alone can be the gospel. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. So how many of us are ready for eternity? Sure not. Raise up higher. Sure not. How many of those around us are ready for eternity? Those around us. How many of those around us are ready for eternity? Are your parents ready? Are your siblings ready? Are your colleagues ready for eternity? Are your good friends, your old friends, old classmates, people that you have not seen for 30 years, when you gather together, are they ready for eternity? Are they ready? Jesus Christ will return. And we have covered that in our previous sermon, that man dies and dies only once. And man dies and then come judgment. This is the first part of verse 27. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. Now we need to tell the people that there's this thing coming. Right? We need to tell the people that judgment is coming. Judgment will come when we die or Jesus comes again. We need to let them know that death is not a punishment for Christians. We have gone through this because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And in last Sunday, Reverend Andrew Eng have given us a sermon titled The End. And one of the catchphrases is that death is not your termination, but your transition into eternity. So death is not a punishment for Christians. We do understand that death is the final outcome of living in a fallen world. God, in His great wisdom, has decided that He would not apply to us the benefit of Christ's redemption. That means once we accepted Christ, God did not just bring us hope, because He has a mission for us to do. And Christ's redemptive work is that one that is atonement and forgiveness of sin. He has given us victory over sin and death. He has given us healing and restoration. And until the time for Christ to come back, death remains a reality. Even Christians today die. Old Christians die. Younger Christians die. Little children die. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Aging, illnesses, injuries, natural disasters are real in our life, regardless of whether we are believers or not. And God has chosen to allow all of us to experience death before we gain all the benefits of salvation that Christ has earned for us. And we also talk about how do we face death in our previous sermon. Imminent death, we can express love, we can express our gratitude, we can express our remorse and farewell to the person when we know that death is imminent. Now, for the many of those who have yet to know about Jesus Christ, they may have a concept that, you know, death after death, people just disappear. We know that the souls of believers go immediately into God's presence. This is very clear in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, that Jesus answered one of the death sentence prisoner, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And this is indeed a great comfort to those who know the truth. Don't you think so? Knowing that if you die, if I die right now, we will be with Jesus in paradise. Now, because of this, the Bible does not teach the doctrine of purgatory. There is no second chance. There is no way that your soul will go to a place and we can pray on behalf that you will ultimately end up to heaven. No, we don't have that in the Bible. Purgatory is a place where souls of believers go to be further purified from sin until they are ready for heaven. There is no such thing. When you die, we go straight into God's presence. And there is also no such doctrine of soul sleep where we sleep until Jesus wakes us up. We don't have that. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, all right, this is a very brief one. The souls of those who have been slain, who have died, they call out in loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth?" They were told to wait a little longer. They were expressing their eagerness to call upon justice, especially for those who have killed them, who have slain them. So these are the martyrs for the faith. They could be the Christian in Assyria or in Syria that has died because of their faith. They could be the persecuted Christians all around the world that has been slain because of their faith. They are eager to have justice brought onto this earth. And they were told to wait a little longer. So there is no such thing of soul sleep, that as you die, you sleep in peace until Jesus wakes you up. The soul of unbelievers go immediately to eternal punishment. The Bible does not teach the doctrine of annihilation, where unbelievers cease to exist after death. This is all the more the reason we need to preach of the good news to the people, because upon death, they will face eternal punishment. There's no such thing as disappearing. Their soul will end up at a place where they are condemned for all eternity. And this conscious punishment goes on forever. Then he will say to those on his left, Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 and 46, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." We too, we were supposed to go away to eternal punishment. But the grace and the love of God have reached out to us through the people around us, to the opportunity that God has given us, that as we hear of the good news, we have chosen to place our trust in Him, so that now, instead of going into eternal punishment, we are called to be righteous because of Christ's righteousness, and we are going into eternal life. Christ was offered once to bear the sins and judgment of many. And that is the good news. That is the good news that we have embraced. And that is why you and I, we are here today. All because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for you and for me. So when our time is up, when our time is up to die, we are going to face judgment, but that judgment comes because Jesus Christ was sacrificed. We are going to be with Him, and we are going to face another type of judgment, which we will talk about in November. So brothers and sisters, it is very crucial for us to share of the gospel, especially to the people around us first and foremost, to our immediate family members. Because we know not only that Christ has died for our sins, but He is coming back. There is hope for our future. We know that because He has reconciled all of us back to God, He has resurrected from the dead, He has promised that He will come back again for the second time. That is our hope, knowing that He will come back and bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. And by then, when Jesus comes again for the second time, our salvation will be complete, where we will be given a resurrected body that is fit for the eternal heavenly kingdom. Of the good news to the people around us, our spouse, our immediate family members, our friends, our children, our grandchildren, the people that we are acquainted with. So how can we be part of God's mission today, since it's Mission Month? There are three major things that we can be part of. First and foremost is that we pray. We pray that we first and foremost look into the needs of the people in our communities. Pray for ministry to flourish, that we can continue to pray and be part of this ministry to bring forth the salvation to the people. Get to know the people in our community. If you are a jogger, come on Saturday morning, be part of Evan's team, make new friends, because there are a lot of joggers around Desa Park City. If you are keen of serving or opening up your house and show hospitality to people, come to us so that we can bring new friends. We can be acquainted with them, and prayerfully they can hear the gospel in your home, that your home will be a blessed place for them. And of course, we can give. The mission budget for 2026 is 600,000. And I believe most of you, as you come into the sanctuary, you were given this, right? And usually for me, I will pledge for the next year, 100 ringgit for me and 100 ringgit for my wife. for the year 2026 so that we can reach 600,000 and that the gospel can be reached to the ends of the earth. So what we can do is we can give towards mission. And we truly want to thank God for the many who has given to bless the food basket for our next week's mission trip to Sandakan. We have reached the amount necessary. And if you still want to give to the mission, do give and approach me and Pastor John Ng so that we can continue to bless the people. And of course, we can go. We are going. Last year, we have 7 of us who went to Kota Kinabalu area. And this year, we thank God, the number multiplied, doubled. And we are going, 14 of us, we will be going to Sandakan and ministering to about 340 stateless kids. They are majority Filipino local mix. They are without documents. They are without identity. And we want to thank once again those contributors who have blessed the 20 voluntary teachers with the food basket. So pray for us. If you want, we are going to organize mission trips again in the future, next year. So be part of the mission trip and go and impact the lives of the people that we are going to meet. 14 of us, and next year we'll be splitting into groups. We'll be splitting to smaller groups, but we are going out to different places at the same time to reach even more for God. Now, I believe as we go on with our life here, we have this Madani 95. It teaches you how to go about pumping the petrol. There was step 1, step 2, step 3, step 4. And I was stuck and confused at keying in the amount. Right? What amount should I put if I'm to pump a full petrol? Right? And I usually pump at this Shell station. And for this Budi 95, there are 2 foreign staff walking around and teaching us how to go about it. And this is the receipt that I received. And as I pumped the petrol, I realized that the amount shows there 90 over ringgit, which is 2 ringgit 60 cent per liter. I got a shock. How? Why? I did everything that was necessary, but how come I'm supposed to pay 92 ringgit 40 cent? I got a shock. I immediately called for the foreign staff, and then he explained to me, right? Oh, it's okay. 92 ringgit 40 cent is 2 ringgit 60 cent per liter. This is the amount that you are supposed to pay. But because of Budi 95 at a discount of 61 cent per liter, there's a discount of 21 ringgit 68 cent, and all that I need to pay is the 70 ringgit 72 cent. So the market price is 260, the subsidy price is 199, and I have a remaining balance of 264.46 liter. This is something that we will need to get used to. Now, something struck me. As I came into the car, Celine asked me, what language did I use to communicate with the foreign staff? I don't remember. Seriously, because we are Malaysian, we speak multiple languages. I don't remember whether it is English or Bahasa Malaysia. But one thing I know is that the message came true. Now, brothers and sisters, we being born in Malaysia, we are blessed with language. We are blessed with the ability to master language. How many of us here can speak 3 languages, including dialects? 4. 5. Amazing. If you look at Malaysia, it is like we are called to be missionaries. We are staying in a multicultural country. We eat spicy food, sour food, whatever food that you place. We have a variety of food. And we have been adjusting ourselves to accommodate cultures, different cultures. We are born in such a manner that we are exposed to multiple languages since young. Looking into our culture, I'm proud to be a Malaysian. To be a Malaysian seems like all of us, we are called to be missionaries. We can adapt to all situations. We can talk to people. I believe this is the English congregation, so obviously all of us can read English. How many of us can read Mandarin? Let us read together. 1, 2, 3, go. 希伯来书9章27到28节。 按着定命，人人都有一死，死后且有审判。像这样，基督既然一次被献，担当了多少多人的罪，将来要向那等候他的人第二次显现，并无罪无关，乃是为拯救他们。 How many of you can speak Cantonese and read in Cantonese? Let's try Cantonese. This one I need my can see. Okay, 希伯来书第9章第27到28节，按着定命，人人都有一死，死后且有审判。像这样，基督既然一次被献，担当了多人的罪。 将来要向那等候他的人第二次显现，并以罪无关，乃是为拯救他们。How many of you can read in Hokkien? How many of us can read it in Hakka? In Teochew? We are given a very special spot, Malaysia. Malaysian. And I believe most of us, we can read it in Bahasa Malaysia. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Ibrani 9:27-28. Sebagaimana manusia ditentukan mati sekali dan selepas itu dihakimkan, begitulah Kristus telah dikorbankan sekali untuk dosa semua manusia. Kepada mereka yang menunggunya dengan penuh pengharapan, dia akan datang bagi kali kedua, bukan untuk menanggung dosa, tetapi untuk menyelamatkan mereka. We are in this spot where we are blessed. We can speak multiple language. I pray that God will convict your hearts, challenge you to be part of the mission. Not only to give, not only to pray, but to join us and go. Join us and go. And we pray that you have already know the truth, and indeed the truth has set us free. We pray that you will be part of God's mission today and send forth the truth to the people who have yet to know. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and pray that, Lord, you will raise up even more workers for the field, because, Lord, the harvest is many, it's plentiful, but the harvester is few. The workers are few. The servants are few. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work in our hearts and challenge us to put forth your mission first and foremost in our life. Because, Lord, we have tested of your goodness, and that, Lord, we know that your truth will set the people free. That they will no longer be fearful of death. That they will know that they belong to you. And upon death, their sins are forgiven and they will go straight into your presence. Lord, this is indeed the greatest news that we have heard in our life. And many of us, Lord, we have turned to you because we have heard of it. And we pray that, Lord, you will use us mightily, preparing our hearts to go into mission. Not only to give and pray, but to go into mission. And Lord, we want to give thanks to you. For Lord, right now, we are going to collect 2 offerings for the month of October. We are going to collect the general offering where we give off our tithes and other offering to you. And Lord, we are going to also collect the 2nd offering, which is for mission. This is beyond and above our tithes and offering. And we pray that, Lord, you will touch our hearts. You will challenge our giving. You will challenge our faith. Knowing that, Lord, you are our provider. You are our protector. And that, Lord, your presence will always be with us. We pray that, Lord, you will help us to give generously. And Lord, we pray that you will use the fund, especially the mission fund, mightily, and to bring forth even more people into your kingdom. people we may never even meet in this lifetime. But Lord, people will get to know you and enter into your heavenly kingdom because we have chosen to obey your command to give generously. We want to thank you, and Lord, we ask that you will honor our giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.